It's the Midnight Radio Network all across America, 800-288-9227. And Ask the Law. Drivers, we have retired senior trooper Monty Dial in studio. If you want to get your question in, do it now, 800-288-9227. That's 800-288-9227. I'm Gary McNamara, along with Eric Harley.
And Ask the Law, a service of Old Blue USA. AskTheLaw.org is the website. You can send an email there to submit your CMV questions anytime. The information that you hear on the program this morning is up to date as of February 7th, 2011, can change without notice. Comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only, and we've got plenty of those to go around at 800-288-9227. So drivers, if you want to get in, do it now, 800-288-9227. You got a regulatory question on hours of service, on CSA, anything else, please let us know, 800-288-9227. In fact, I think it's time to move on to our calls, 800-288-9227.
Let's go to Kevin in Mount Vernon, Texas. Kevin, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hey, guys. I listen to you guys all the time. I was just kind of curious, as I just drive strictly in Texas, and I was wanting to see if the new hours of service was going to affect us any to where we could still drive 12 and sleep 8.
Right now, Kevin, the Texas Department of Public Safety has not proposed any changes. When I was working, we thought maybe that they might bring the Texas version more in line with the interstate, but I think as long as there are court challenges going on, FMC or Texas DPS is going to wait until all of the court challenges have been taken care of before they go in and make any changes.
That's a smart move.
Yeah, because if they try to make a change to bring it more in line with the Fed, the first thing you know, now then they're having to go back and change it again. And it takes the Texas legislators to pass Texas laws to make any changes to the Texas version. So I think until you see some finality on the federal level, Texas is going to leave everything alone.
Okay, so does that also include the year 34 only starting once a week and from 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. a start?
That portion of it, they could go in and make the change, but here again, I think they're going to sit back and wait.
What is the restart right now for intrastate drivers in Texas?
Same as it is on the federal level.
It is. Yeah. So they could adopt that portion of it,
yes,
and change that, and that could be the rule change there.
Correct.
That is a possibility. And if that happens, by the way, we will let you know, but that'll be interesting to watch to see if they actually do that. So we will let you know. So far, there has not been any official proposal from the Texas Department of Public Safety yet.
Okay, but if I could, can I ask one more question?
Sure.
If it does go into effect as far as interstate, when is all these laws going to go into effect?
That's the $64,000 question right now, Kevin.
The final rulemaking would come out, and and then they would announce a start.
Right, date. Right. See, right now, everything that you're hearing is what is called a notice of a proposed rulemaking. This is where we get started. They propose some rules. They give everyone and their dog an opportunity to comment. Once they have received all the comments, then they come back and they review them, and then they will publish what's called a final rule. When they publish that final rule, they say, okay, as of this date, this is when the new regulations will become effective. So we're way back down the road here. We're still in the starting gate, basically.
Okay. Right. Okay, well, I mean, you guys are the number one place that I get information. I mean, I listen to Eric and Gary all the time, you know, I always make a point to listen to Ask the Law.
Yeah, well,
Monday of every month.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And remember, next month.
Remember, next month, Kevin, it's going to be March 28th as we're moving it closer to the Mid-America Trucking Show. So we will not be here the first Monday. We will be here instead Monday, March 28th, which will be followed also by a week later by the April Ask the Law edition. So we appreciate you being here. Thank you so much, Kevin, and drive safe.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it, man.
All right. Thank you so much. 800-288-9227.
And let's talk to Mike in Oklahoma. Mike, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I was asking a question about the livestock hauling industry. You hardly ever hear anyone mention that. But when you're talking about taking a 30-minute break after 7 hours of driving,
yeah.
You've got livestock on that needs to be at a destination. They don't need to be set still. They need to get delivered because you've got a live product on. What are you going to do about that?
FMCSA does not care.
Yeah.
Care if your animals die.
Huh? Yeah. It will be interesting to watch who is responding to this in the different parts of the industry. Trooper Dial and I were talking during the break, Mike, about the different sizes of companies and operations and who this will affect and who will not be affected by the mandatory breaks during the day. But you guys hauling livestock, there is no doubt in my mind you have to shut that down. And remember, it's not just that half hour, but at some point during your day of that 14-hour drive window, you're going to have a one-hour break in there, whether it's 30 minutes now and 30 minutes later. You're going to have a full 1 hour in that 14-hour driving window, and we still don't know yet because of the final rulemaking is not available yet, but we still don't know if it will be 10 hours of drive time or 11 hours of drive time in that 14-hour window. So
I don't see people are looking into that, right? I mean, is this the freight hauler or oriented program, I think, where it's okay to shut down with something that's not live on your trailer, but when you got a live product and it needs to go, you need to make an exception for that.
Yeah, and I would agree. You guys know, and in fact, we've talked about this before, about because it's come up before, and thank you for the call about mandatory breaks and what it would do, what would happen if you had to take a break here and a break there. And we'll certainly let you know if there's any kind of exemption that is issued on livestock, but as far as we know, no one has mentioned that yet.
They tried this back in 1995.
Mm.
They tried to tackle the various modes of trucking.
Right, with different exemptions for everybody.
And I think they had 11 different classifications of drivers.
Right.
And they no more than got that published as a NPRM, and they quickly shelved it because it was going to be a total nightmare. You think it's hard understanding the rules either before 2003 or after 2003, and you go back and read the almost 500 pages, and it was going to be a nightmare.
Right.
So, you know, I feel for the different modes of commodities being hauled, but FMCSA, for whatever reason, has chosen to make the shoe fits everybody.
Right, because you could put a miniature goat in the sleeper berth and say, I'm hauling livestock.
Yeah.
You'd get the exemption right there.
BJ
right.
And the goat? I don't know.
Or a chimpanzee. We talked about chimpanzees and distracted driving. If you have a chimpanzee, frankly, I think the chimpanzee could count as another driver. Maybe I'm wrong.
I have to ask you, did you ever encounter a driver with the chimpanzee?
Any monkeys on the road?
I can't say that ever happened.
Yeah. Decades of experience and not one monkey.
No.
Man, am I disappointed. All right, we're back with Ask the Law in a moment. This is your chance to get in. 800-288-9227 while we have an open line. 800-288-9227. Ask the Law continues next
on the Midnight Radio Network. Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara along with Eric Hurley.
All the information up to date as of today, February 7, 2011, can change without notice. And we also want to let you know that the comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. 800-288-9227. Ask the Law, courtesy of Old Blue USA. AskTheLaw.org. Let's get to your calls right now.
Let's talk to Frank on I-30. Frank, hi, you're on the Midnight Radio Network. Welcome. Hi, Frank.
Hey, How you doing?
Good.
I had a question. How is the new hours of service going to affect local drivers? I've been listening to you for a little while here talking about taking a break after 7 hours of driving, but typically in the fuel hauling business here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you behind the wheel maybe 30, 45 minutes, and then you make a delivery and then go back to the loading facility and do it all over again. Are you going to be required to take a break in a 12-hour period of time, which is typically a work day for us?
Not really, Frank. What's going to happen is during the listening session, drivers were complaining about not being able to take a break. And when I heard that, I came unglued. There is nothing in the regulations that says a driver cannot take a break. Drivers choose to take breaks. Drivers choose not to take breaks. What a driver has to remember is if they are operating interstate, they can drive a maximum of 11 hours. They can have a total duty clock of 14 hours. So he has basically 3 hours that he can do with whatever he wants to do other than driving. There is where the driver can take up to 3 hours of break and still stay within the 11 hours of driving and the 14-hour total duty clock. If you are a local driver, and here again, we're talking about the proposed rules. In the proposed rules, they're saying you cannot drive more than 7 hours at one sitting before you are required. Before you are required to stop and take at a minimum a 30 break.
So if he's going back and loading and stuff, he could actually the loading time he can consider a break.
Correct.
Because you're going to be what's it take you to load? At least 30 minutes?
It takes about 15 to 30 minutes to load and about 30 minutes to unload.
Yeah. See, there's your break right there. And as long as your next consecutive driving period does not go more than 7 hours, you're doing fine.
Are you considered off duty when you're loading and unloading?
No.
I'm on duty from the moment my 12 hours starts until I'm done. Any time that I'm not actually behind the wheel, I'm considered on duty.
Okay, so if he's considered on duty, changed.
Wait a minute. Now, okay, let me ask you this, Frank. Are we using the exemption, or are we logging everything?
No, we are logging everything.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure, because if you are operating under the exemption, that's not included in the notice of the proposed rulemaking.
Right.
Right. The company I work for does not elect to go to that exemption. I've run underneath that before, but they've elected to just have it.
Well, in essence, what it does is it allows you to do more by going with the logbook versus just running the straight 12-hour clock.
Right. Right.
Well, and so in this case, if he is running 7 hours and he is and let's just say he's not going off duty for do you go on a 7 hour run, any period of 7 hours, is there any time that's spent off duty? Do you get any breaks during that time?
No, there's no break. I guess if you got caught in a line waiting to load, you could log that as off duty time, but company requirements, if you're, at time waiting in line, it has to be logged on.
Well,
duty.
In this case,
we're paid by the load, not the hour.
Okay, and then in that case, he's going to have to take that break.
No. Because what will happen is you're looking at no more than 7 consecutive hours of driving.
Right.
He doesn't.
Right.
There's no way that we do more than an hour, an hour and a half time.
Yeah, right. See, in delivering fuel here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, you would be stretching it if you ever had a 2-hour run.
Right. Okay.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So by taking the time to the on duty not driving to load, the on duty not driving to offload, there is his break right there.
But they're on duty. That's considered that 7 hours.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. Back to Ask the Law in a moment
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network,
and Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial. Hey, drivers, get your questions in now. Last half hour here for this month, 800-288-9227.
I missed our halftime show. What happened?
Was it good?
It was really, really good. I changed the lyrics.
Did Christina Aguilera get the lyrics right?
I changed the lyrics to a Village People song.
Yeah.
I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Carley.
Oh, I knew it was bad when she started out, "Oh, say, do you care?" Okay, no, that's not. You're reading off the wrong cue cards, Christina. Good luck, good night, and get out. All right, 800-288-9227, Ask the Law, is courtesy of Old Blue USA. We want to thank R.J. Taylor and our friends over at Old Blue USA. We want to let you know that the information is up to date as of today, which is February 7th, 2011, and can change without notice. Comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Opinions only, all right? So I just want to let you know. I want to say to the last caller, Trooper Dial, because I may have sent a mixed message with my silly questions. But if those fuel haulers are, and he mentioned that they were set aside sometimes.
Yes.
For maybe a couple hours. They need to be taken that as off duty.
Because
if they set you aside and you're delayed for a couple hours and getting loaded or unloaded, take that as off duty time and you won't have to worry about your 7 hours because that's off duty.
Correct.
So then you can keep going. So I'm sure their safety director, like all safety directors right now, are trying to put pencil to paper and figure out if that's the case, if that's going to work out for them. Wow. 11 different applications in trucking, 11 different types of exemptions if they tried to break it down into each section.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's
it was a nightmare.
I'm surprised it's not more.
Well, and the bad thing about that was you could have a driver as a driver position one today.
Right.
He could be driver position two the next day and driver position three the day after that.
Yeah.
And like I say, it was...
that just becomes so, so confusing.
Yeah.
Well, you remember years ago when we started here, there was no hours of service rule change. We were operating under that rule that was in place for 60 years, and there was a ton of questions.
Oh, yeah.
A ton of questions.
Yes.
And there always will be. So the more you change it, the more you try and break it down and give exemptions or different applications, different rules, then you're in trouble.
Yes.
800-288-9227. Let's get back to you.
And let's talk to Tim on 25 in New Mexico. Tim, hi. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome.
Good morning. A couple questions. One is, if you're hauling high explosives, where are you going to stop? There's multiple entities that don't like you to stop in their neighborhood.
Wow. That's a really
good question. The
thing
is, where are you going to stop? There's not enough truck stops, not enough on ramps, not enough anything else.
Yeah.
And I think the industry should pick all their stops at the same time.
Make
the whole show.
Everybody, 2 p.m., shut it down. That's that. You wouldn't be the first one to suggest that, Tim, but you know, you get into this is what we were talking about on the Friday show about the of the parking situation that this is going to create. Because if you have everybody that needs to take a break after 7 hours, then they're going to stop at 7 hours. Then, of course, the if you're hauling special materials like you guys, or maybe if you're a team driver, you're going to have to stop in a few hours and switch drivers. A lot of concerns there with where you're going to stop and that where that parking is going to come from.
It's definitely going to pose a problem, especially if you're hauling the 1.1, the 1.2, and the 1.3, because in Part 397, those commodities have to be under constant surveillance unless it's parked on the shipper, the receiver, or the motor carrier's property.
Yeah. Now, one other question. You have an 8-hour rest period and your partner can only drive for 7. Things don't mesh up.
No, they don't.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's that becomes...
Well,
again,
now, it will definitely, you know, this whole new proposal is going to definitely be a logistic nightmare.
Yeah.
But here's what drivers need to do. You need to take and understand what a driver can and cannot do.
Right.
So far, FMCSA has managed, and how long this happens, I do not know. But so far, FMCSA has not gotten into mandating what a driver does during his breaks.
Right.
The regulation says that if the driver's in the sleeper berth, the driver can claim sleeper berth time. If the driver is out of the truck, the driver can claim off duty.
Oh, thank you for the call.
Regulations state that the driver has to have 10 consecutive hours off duty,
right.
10 hours in the sleeper berth, or 10 hours a combination of off duty sleeper berth. Mm-hmm. Nowhere in the regulations does it say what that driver has to do when he's off duty. Nowhere does it say what he has to do when he's in the sleeper berth.
Right.
Now, granted, we would all want drivers to get rest.
Yeah, that's the idea.
No one is out here saying we want fatigued drivers driving.
Right.
But in a situation like Tim was in, when you have situations where hours don't match up,
right.
The driver can, the team driver who's in the sleeper berth, all he has to do is position himself within the sleeper berth. He can still log sleeper berth and still be in attendance to the vehicle.
Right.
So he's met part 397 in that the vehicle is in attendance,
right.
But it's being done so from the sleeper berth.
Right.
So it's knowing what a driver can do,
right.
What a driver can't do, and I think
that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
And once a driver knows what they can do,
yeah.
And what they can't do, then you adjust to do things that you are allowed to do,
right.
Like being in the sleeper berth.
Right.
It doesn't say that you have to sleep in your sleeper berth for years and years and years. I've heard drivers say, "I can't sleep 10 hours in a bunk,"
mm-hmm.
And I would say, get the regulations and says, where does it say you have to sleep 10 hours?
Yeah, show us. Right.
It doesn't say that. It just says you have to be in the sleeper berth 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
If 4 hours is all you need, more power to you. But you've got to stay within the confines of that sleeper berth.
Sure.
Find you something to do. If you like reading books, read books.
Okay, I know some couples that run and they have these super, super sleepers on there. If they're back there, is it considered in the sleeper berth if they're back there in the kitchen portion or the shower portion of that?
If that is considered the sleeper berth, they're in the sleeper berth.
Okay. And so what is it that's considered, I guess, the sleeper berth? Is there any definition there? Because essentially they're going behind the seats, and then they've got curtains that they can draw, and then back there they've got everything and the kitchen sink.
If there's a small kitchen off it and they're sitting at the table watching the Black Eyed Peas halftime show, as I think
yeah, exactly.
Tell you, is that considered?
Or if they're in the shower
watching the Black Eyed Peas halftime
yeah, which
show.
Would be weird.
Yeah.
Let's see. 396 or 39376
right.
Is the sleeper berth.
Okay. Now, I know we've dealt with mattresses and what all has to be there.
It gives you a dimension
right.
of what the sleeper berth is.
Right.
Tells you what the shape the
right.
sleeper berth is.
Right.
Tells you access to the sleeper berth.
Right.
And it tells you about the location of the sleeper berth.
Right.
And it doesn't say anything else in there. So if you have a box.
And you consider that your sleeper berth.
And you consider that your sleeper berth.
Right.
And it's located behind the seats.
Right.
That's the sleeper berth.
That's sleeper berth. Yeah. Well, I can see where Double Eagle's going to make some money here coming soon. They're going to be building some of those big sleepers. But Triple Eagle is what I'm going to do. I'm going to start a new company, Triple Eagle. You've seen some of these
yes.
yeah,
huge,
beautiful.
Massive sleepers. And one couple, in fact, does it because they live out there. What they do is they take trade shows and set them up, and then they have to babysit the trade show while it's in town at the convention center. Well, they live in their truck instead of a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And then another couple hauls sensitive military materials, and one person has to be with that truck at all times, so they have a shower and everything else. So, wow, interesting. All right, back with Ask the Law in just a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
Thank you to R.J. Taylor and Old Blue USA for making this show possible for many years. Thank you to retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial for doing all the legwork and all the work here on the program, the heavy lifting. He's done that for many, many years, and it's every first Monday, except next month, March, we will actually be here on for Ask the Law on March 28th, which will be the Monday leading into the Mid-America show. It'll be interesting leading into Mid-America. Last year, I guess, 2010, it was all still about equipment, and I think the buzz this year will certainly be about regulatory items. So I'll be there collecting a lot of information and taking the pulse of the industry, bringing that back, because we'll be here on the 28th, and then we will also be here the following Monday for the April edition of Ask the Law. So again, want to remind you, the Hours of Service listening session coming up, that is February 17th, 9 a.m. Eastern in Arlington, Virginia, and they're going to be meeting at the Crown Plaza, Washington National Airport Hotel. You can participate by internet or telephone. More details are at eTrucker.com. You can also find this story at our website, MidnightTrucking.com, and there's more details there on this story. But you mentioned, we were talking during the break, how Ann Farrow and this administration, as head of the FMCSA, is doing a better job at not only listening but gathering information from the industry,
yes,
as to why certain parts of the industry, you know, need certain items here in this hours of service rule.
And I think this is one of the things, you know, that they had no plans of having any additional sessions, and now with the data that they have gathered from the other six,
yeah,
there are some holes and pieces that are still missing.
Right.
So rather than taking a chance on getting blown out of the water again,
right,
they decided we need another listening session.
Yep.
And if you'll notice that they're tightening the restrictions on what they're asking for.
They're looking for specific
items.
They're looking for
specific items. So,
all right. Well, we'll talk again next month, March 28th. We'll see you then. It's Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network.